Daniel did a good enough job of introducing me, so I don't have anything more to say on that score. But we are wanting to talk about the legalization of marijuana. I presented some of this information 9 years ago, but a lot has happened since then, and they have made inroads on this particular subject. The following statistics... What is that in the middle? I shouldn't have used the arrow, huh? It doesn't think the power's plugged in.
That's not good.
Okay. It wasn't plugged in. Are we good now?
Hope so.
Okay. Okay, we'd like to mention these statistics. One of four Americans of the age range of 26 to 34 has already taken drugs. Minnesota Institute of Public Health and Drug Prevention Resource Center informs that 5,000 grown-ups in America take cocaine for the first time every day. The statistics show that 22 to 25 million people have already taken cocaine at least one time. Looks like it started over. Okay. Different interrogation data tell that there are more than 2 million cocaine takers in the United States today. This might get us by with less trouble. Cocaine is the reason over half of the visits to the emergency rooms when drug taking is concerned. And every year, the number of cocaine addicts has been gradually growing. For 1975, this number was 30,000. In 86, it went up to 300,000. And 361,000 in 2000. 8.2% of high school pupils surveyed in 2001 told that they had already taken cocaine. Men take cocaine twice as much as women take it. Informal agencies for the Office of the National Drug Control Policy tell that the amount of constant cocaine addicts is over 3.6 million people. Juveniles from 18 to 25 are the ones for whom using cocaine is the most popular. About 300,000 babies were born in 1988 spoiled with cocaine. Now, you might say, well, I thought this was about marijuana. Well, this statistic shows the relevance of all of this to marijuana. The amount of people who have taken marijuana before using cocaine is 90%. So some people waste time arguing over whether marijuana is a gateway drug or not. But obviously it is. In fact, just this year, July 26th and 27th, the New York Times, go figure, erroneously affirmed that marijuana is not a gateway drug. However, the statistics say otherwise. A Yale study shows that adolescents who use pot are three times more likely to use hard drugs than those who don't. So these statistics say a lot. And this has been popularized, of course, back in 1978 or 9, Cheech and Chong did Up in Smoke, 78, a film that they made. And many people were impressed with that and liked that idea. And there has been talk of legalizing marijuana ever since those days. But we need to take a look at a few things. Joseph Califano was Secretary of Education from 1977 to 1979. He wrote a book, How High Society, How Substance Abuse Ravages America and What to Do About It. And then he also wrote another book, How to Raise a Drug-Free Kid, The Straight Dope for Parents. Well, in his book, he points out that the pot used today is 10 times more potent than what the hippies were using back in the 1960s. The push to legalize marijuana today is about 10 times greater than it was back then, too, because it seems now that the media, like the New York Times and many other liberal publications and news outlets, are supporting the idea. That didn't used to be the case, but now they are. Now, many in Florida want to legalize pot for medicinal purposes. At the forefront of the fight is the law firm Morgan & Morgan. On October 13th last year, I wrote an article in Spiritual Perspectives called Morgan & Morgan for the Stoned People. And that seems to be where they are and what they are after. Now, his main argument in the newspaper column that dealt with this seems to be this, that the painkiller, Oxycontin, is worse than marijuana. And its active ingredient is oxycodone. According to him, it kills 16,000 people have died on this, but nevertheless, is this the best we can do? Is this the only choice we have? Is it either a drug that has obviously some bad side effects, or is there the only other choice, marijuana? Well, that would seem to be what he would have us to believe. Morgan says that marijuana is good for ALS, for cancer, multiple sclerosis, glaucoma, epilepsy, and all sorts of chronic pain. But again, is that the only choice we have? Legalizing marijuana for medical purposes sounds like the compassionate thing to do, doesn't it? And if it were carefully administered, we might agree to legalize it temporarily until something more appropriate and affordable was available. And that's why some people choose marijuana, by the way, because drug companies charge a great deal of money. However, in cities where, or states where, medical marijuana is legal, guess what? You just can't believe the amount of people who are sick and who need treatment from the medical marijuana. And so what starts out to be something of compassion ends up being, to use a little football terminology, an end run in order to get it available for as many people who want it. Everywhere that medical marijuana has been tried, the floodgates have been opened to marijuana usage. Well, how do they try to justify these things? Colorado voted to make marijuana legal last year, and now they're several months into living under the new law. What arguments were made to persuade the population to vote for this? Well, first of all, there is the tax argument, that the state will just benefit greatly from taxes. It'll be a great bonus. We'll get a lot more tax money off of that. Really? Is there any vice that hasn't been sold with that same argument? Remember when states were deciding whether or not to do state lotteries? You remember the arguments, if you're old enough, why this will bring a great bonanza into our state coffers. Nobody's going to be forced to buy lottery tickets. It'll be voluntary. Only those who want to play the lottery will be paying the taxes. How cool is that? And the money can be used to fund education, and it'll relieve property owners of some of their burdens. So how did that work out for us? Well, poor people got even poorer. since the majority of lottery tickets are bought by poor people, and no one knows what happened to all the tax money. Did anybody's taxes ever go down? Did anybody know where the money that was collected? Did anybody know where that went? Do we not continue to hear how our schools are in dire need of money? Well, with all that tax revenue from the lottery, why is that still the case? But it is. And when advocates of riverboat gambling wanted to justify theirs, and when casinos wanted to justify their existence, what did they do? They went to the tax argument. So all of these have been used time and time again. And they pledged that the community would be benefited from all these additional tax dollars. Whenever dry counties wanted to become wet counties, they have urged the passage of these things because we'll gain from the taxes we collect. But some experts have decided that and done studies and determined that when we collect money on alcohol for every $1 that is collected in taxes, guess what? We spend $5 with alcohol-related problems. And so what do we really gain from all of that? Now, the other main argument is that marijuana is no worse than alcohol. Really? How's that worked out? Well, we have a few illustrations of that. In the 1980s, as children were dismissed from school in Peoria, Illinois, they were walking home as usual, one road leading away from an elementary school just up on the corner from us was a narrow two-lane road without sidewalks, but only parents of students were generally driving or on the road at that time. One mother picked up her child and was barreling home towards her house when she struck a girl who will forever remain 8 years old and killed her. Her daughter had to tell her what she had done, inform her that she had hit a child. She didn't even know it. And when she was told that, she said, "Well, why didn't the brat look where she was going?" Marijuana's no worse than that, I guess. And then there was the high school senior in Indiana who was going to graduate in 2 weeks and on her way to pick up her class ring when she was struck and killed in the afternoon by a driver who had been drinking during the day. About that same time, a woman moved here from Maryland and became a member of this congregation. Her daughter was killed. Now, she was in an accident. The husband and the two children survived, but her daughter was killed. And she continued to grieve over that all of her life. In the original 2005 copy of this, I made note of the lectureship, the power lectureship, in South Avon, Mississippi, because an event had just occurred. And that year they had dedicated the lectureship to Ethan Eric Bayless, whose life only extended to the age of 2.5 years. His family's car was rear-ended by a drunk driver who promptly fled the scene. His grandfather addressed the Mississippi House of Representatives Judiciary Committee, A, on February 15th of that year, regarding the state's DUI laws. They already knew when he addressed them, but he called it to their attention. They already knew that 35%, about a little more than 1 in 3, of alcohol-related deaths in that state were from repeat offenders. And he pleaded eloquently for them to take action to avoid future tragedies. And many people here know who that grandfather was, Timothy Wilkes. But nevertheless, this keeps happening and happening and happening. So is the fact that alcohol is legal and marijuana is no worse than alcohol a really good argument for legalizing it? A recent study by the University of Colorado School of Medicine concluded people who drive under the influence of pot are far more likely to be involved in fatal car accidents. And there are some other things that we also have learned. Normal coordination reflexes, as driving, for example, are lessened for 41% after having taken one joint and 63% after having taken two joints. Well, that's not a very good indication of something good, is it? The information received has revealed that people who are addicted to effective usage of marijuana lack the same amount of coordination as individuals who have taken too much alcohol. Among juveniles from 12 to 17, the average age of first marijuana usage is 14 years of age. These data make it clear that marijuana has severe problems attached to it. Consider the harm that has accrued to marijuana. And some of this was called attention to in our first lectureship in 2005. The book, Dying for a Drink by Anderson Spickard, M.D. Is there a safe, and notice this is not a preacher, this is an M.D. Is there a safe amount of alcohol with which a person can drink? It is a question for which there is no known answer. The amount of alcohol which will lead any given individual into addiction is impossible to determine. There are too many variables. There are no safe amounts of alcohol. That's pretty compelling coming from this individual. So neither the argument for increased taxes would justify, by the way, sinful behavior anyway. Just because somebody's found a way to make money off of it doesn't mean it's not sinful. And so that wouldn't justify it anyway. Or the marijuana is no worse than alcohol argument. Either one of these have any merit. So what are some reasons for opposing this? Well, we want to talk about Colorado and taxes and the revenue that they gathered from January to June 2014. Now, remember, this is the argument. Oh, we're going to do so well with this. We're going to have so much tax money on this. They expected $33 million in taxes. How much marijuana is that? $33 million in taxes. They only got 12. They only got 12. Well, one guy, I read an article once, says 6 months after marijuana legalization, Colorado tax revenue skyrockets as crime falls. I think he was sampling the product. All you have to do is type in marijuana tax revenues and Colorado, and one of the first things that you will find is that information I just gave on the shortfall. But you'll also find that taxes on medical marijuana are cheaper than taxes on recreational marijuana. So guess what? Now everybody's sick again because they can get cheaper medical marijuana than they can recreational marijuana. And so that's not worked out real well. Taxes on marijuana purchased on the black market are zero. And so that's even a better deal than the medical marijuana. And that's what we have going on in Colorado. The black market is flourishing now that it has been legalized. I know everybody always says, well, if we legalize it, then everybody will buy it and we can get rid of the black market. No. Black market's flourishing because they don't pay taxes when they buy it off the black market. We want to go to a few things from the February 1996 Reader's Digest. And now that we have seen that these two things have not worked out the way that they said, in the February 1996 Reader's Digest, they credited Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign for the sharp decline in young people using marijuana. Now, I know the late night comedians had a field day with this. Just say no, how's that going to work? But it did. The campaign did a great deal of good. According to USA Weekend, February 16th through 18th, 1996, high school seniors in 1979, 50% used marijuana. That was before Reagan took office. By 1992 and the Just Say No campaign, it was down to 22%. That is impressive. That may not be the only reason it decreased, but it was a contributing factor, and they credited that campaign with those results. However, 3 years later, it was back up to 34.7%. And this article was written in 1996, so that's all that we could look at. I rather suspect it has continued since that time. Something is wrong for it to increase that way. Once we went to all of the work and all of the labors to get it lower, and Reader's Digest cited several factors. They said in 1989 there were 518 drug stories that were aired on the evening news by the three major networks. But by 1994, there were only 78. So there were from over 500 to less than 100 in just that short period of time. And many of those ads aired at times when young people were not even watching. And so the campaign just kind of withered and died at that particular time. Now, what are some effects? According to this article, marijuana reduces coordination, slows reflexes, interferes with the ability to measure distance, speed, and time, and disrupts concentration in short-term memory. That's one of the effects. Another one, a marijuana smoker is exposed to six times as many carcinogens as a tobacco smoker. Another one, as we've already said, is that it's a gateway drug, and it leads its devotees to experiment with drugs that are far more dangerous than it is. Not that it's not dangerous. Some users admit that. One young person said, "Pot makes you lazy. I don't like to do schoolwork." Now, on a good day, most students will probably say that. So they really don't need any help from marijuana. A lot of people move on to acid. Parents need to be aware of the great threat against young people and allow them not to be deceived by it. There is another book called Getting Tough on Gateway Drugs by Robert DuPont. He includes a chapter which he calls Marijuana the Dumb High. And he points out that what most people don't know but maybe are becoming aware of is that marijuana impairs or interferes with short-term memory, slows the learning process, interferes with oral communication, and may trigger temporary confusion and delirium. Marijuana can have detrimental physiological effects, in other words, such as slowing one's reflexes from 4 to 8 hours after experiencing a high. Now, we've learned a lot more since these things have occurred. And we want to mention that, I'm going to skip over some of this in the interest of time, but we'd like to notice what a street-selling entrepreneur in Colorado said. "People say money doesn't grow on trees." They're lying. And again, that relates to the black market. Also, there are some other unintended consequences, and that is people are coming from other states to buy their marijuana, either on the black market or perhaps legally, and then taking it home and reselling it where they are. And so some people are making a great deal of money on it. In California and Colorado, a person can apply for a medical marijuana card, Some of those who possess such cards then resell marijuana to others for recreational use. And so an interesting phenomenon is to observe that because taxes on recreational use are high, more people are getting medical cards so they can get the cheaper tax rate. And so that kind of thing continues to happen. And you might say, well, who could have foreseen all of these unintended consequences? Well, how about anybody with any sense? Is there nobody who plays chess anymore and can't see one move ahead? How do we not figure these things out? Especially when we have other places as examples of what has happened. Now, just a little bit earlier this year on the O'Reilly Factor, there were some guests and some good information that was presented. Pot legalization sends a signal to children that drug use is an acceptable part of life. Every time somebody begins to legalize this, that's the message. It's okay. Anytime anything is legalized, that sends the message to young people, hey, it's okay. They're not going to do any research and find out that for 250 years it was illegal. They're just going to say, well, it's legal now. And so that's the message that is sent. Teenagers, according to an Australian government study, are 7 times more likely to commit suicide. 2 child and adolescent psychologists claim that the media has been understating the damage that kids face. The first one of these, and this was just a couple of weeks ago, Daniel Bober, D.O., as an English teacher, that always seems like it means direct object. I'm sure it's doctor of something, though, in this case. But he made the comment that in one study that was done in Colorado, what we found was that 75% of youth in a treatment center were getting their marijuana from adults with legal marijuana cards. So it's become more accessible. And there's a lot of evidence, he said, that suggests that marijuana is a gateway drug to other drugs. And the younger they start, the worse it is. And then teens have a developing brain that's particularly sensitive to the effects of marijuana. And it puts us all at risk when we put our children at risk. Another guest was Nick Weiss. He's also has the same credentials as the other man. And he said, certainly the harms of marijuana on the adolescent brain are being increasingly documented. And at the same time, teens see it as less risky than ever. I think the real shame is the risks haven't been acknowledged. Teens really do need to know about these risks. Now, about 30 years ago, and I put this up the last time we did this, a teenager wrote into Ann Landers column, this had been about 30 years ago, and wrote a letter while high on marijuana, talking about its great virtues and what all it did for her. And she cleaned it up and published it, and then some readers wrote in and said, no, don't do that. Show the original letter. So she published the original letter, and we're going to look at it just as it was written. No corrections in grammar, nothing like that. Just what the person wrote. And it's odd that Ann Landers wrote this, since later on she recommended a lenient stance on marijuana usage. But here is what the letter said. Your letter against pot last week was a joke. If you dried up creeps want kids to believe you, who don't you tell the truth? I like my hair long. It looks fine. I have yet to see a single letter in your column to tell the good things about pot. Why is that? Because you are a bunch of fuddy-duties who are scare us kids to death. Well, it won't work. Most of us know more about pot than our parents and teachers put together. Getting turned on by Jesus is definitely. I'm a 16-year-old girl who lives in a medium-sized Midwestern town. I have been smoking pot at least once a day for 2 years. It hasn't hurt me at all. In fact, it has done me a lot of good. Not only is pot smoking fun, but it has expanded my conscientiousness and opened my eyes to the beauties of the world. And unquestionable, this proves the police are pigs. Grass has not dulled my mind, it has sharpened it. My think is clearer than it ever was. I am more aware of things I never noticed before. Objects that used to look small look large, especially when I... When I smoke, I see mental imagines in color instead of black and white. I used to be too shy to speak up in a crowd. Now I am a brilliant conversationist. I get stoned, but I am 100% lucid. I am express my inmost feelings brilliantly. Feet can be friends. When I finish this letter, it will be a masterpiece. If you fail to print it, I will know you are a communist. In Russia, they only print one side of the story, the side they want people to believe. I'll be watch and waiting. The truth will win. Well, this is a excellent unintended consequence of how bad marijuana really is. I'm glad this person took the time to write that letter. The Bible has not changed its position concerning alcohol and other drugs in order to blend in with modern times. The Bible still says the same thing it always has. Some may not be aware of the fact, but among those whom God lists who will partake in the lake of fire, one of those is sorcerers. And you might say, well, so? The thing is, the word for sorcerers is pharmakeios, related to pharmakia, pharmakos, or our word, pharmacy. In Revelation 21:8, you can find that word in that passage amongst those who will dwell in the lake of fire. It was often tied in with occult practices. And I don't know that it always is today, but it's certainly tied in with some bizarre things. Look who is promoting drug use sometimes and what else they are involved in. But the child of God is still supposed to be sober and be vigilant. And as Jesus said, watch therefore. How difficult would it be to watch while getting high on some substance? Since the Word of God never changes, the same principles that we presented on this in 2005, we want to mention again as we close. Don't allow yourself to be enticed by your senses. That's what we read in Proverbs 23:31. Don't look upon the wine when it handles itself aright, when it's good to look at and tempt. And that can be said about any of these things. Don't even look upon it. Don't even think about it. And you will be much happier. Don't follow a multitude to do evil. If 70% of American society drinks alcohol, you don't have to be one of those. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Treat the physical body as a good steward would, since it belongs to God, for you were bought with a price. Just say, no. No one ever needs to give up an addiction if an addiction has never had a chance to take hold. Paul states, I will not be brought under the power of anything. Fill life with the things that are positive and non-addictive, such as good works. I know it's not addictive because some brethren quit. A cold turkey, in fact. But fill your life with good works. That's something that'll count, something that will be rewarded. Fellowship that which is good rather than things that are associated with evil. Evil companions corrupt good morals. And know God thoroughly by a continual study of His Word, as Psalm 119:11 was mentioned earlier. He is holy and He wants His followers to be the same. His commandments, even under the old covenant, were for His people's good. Notice that last phrase in Deuteronomy 10:13. These things are given for your good. He wants salvation for all of us and knows that addictions are harmful and will keep us from Him. Therefore, He forbids them. We must, as we often sing, trust Him and obey Him in all things. At this time, we'll have about a 15-minute break. You're dismissed.